Chapter 47. Louise. I don't know why I feel so nervy. It's not exactly as if the police are going to turn up at my door waving the letter at me and asking me to explain myself. I even got a bus to Crouch End and posted it there, despite the fact they probably use the same sorting office as here. I wanted some distance between me and it. The envelope was damp from my clammy hands when I finally slipped it into the box. Still, I constantly feel sick, and then David texted me last night. He said he wanted to meet up and talk. I stared at the words for an hour or so, my head pounding, but in the end, I ignored it. What did he mean by talk? Threaten me some more? He was drunk anyway. Even autocorrect had given up on some of his spelling. I don't want to talk to either of them, if I'm honest. Adele texted with some simpering stuff about David being different, and maybe she was overthinking. I bet she's regretting telling me everything about Rob. Sharing a secret always feels great in the moment, but then becomes a burden in itself. That gnawing in the pit of your stomach, that something has been set free, and you can't call it back, and now someone else has that power over your future. It's why I've always hated secrets. They're impossible to keep. I hate knowing Sophie's secrets, always worrying that one day I'll be wine happy and something will slip out in front of Jay. Now I'm in a mess of secrets and I've taken Adele's into my own hands. She'd hate that I sent that letter, and I wouldn't blame her for that. But what else could I do? In the end, I changed the subject in our texts to my dreams. I told her about the weirdness of feeling like I'd left my body by going through the second door. It seemed a safer subject than the weirdness of their marriage and the very real possibility that David is a murderer. My head still aches, a constant throb I can't ignore, and even going out in the fresh air to collect Adam from a birthday party at the community centre doesn't shake away the nausea. I haven't even really slept. I lie in bed exhausted, but as soon as the light goes off, the lights in my brain come on. I think maybe I preferred the night terrors to the complete insomnia, back when life was simple, back before the man in the bar. Adam is stuffed with sandwiches and sweets, so he put his wrapped piece of birthday cake in the fridge for later, and he runs off to his room to examine the contents of his ridiculously expensive party bag. I don't even want to see what's in it. Adam's birthday is coming around fast, and it'll be my turn to spend money I can't afford on expensive rubbish for children who don't need it. It's an unfair thought. Ian will help out. He's nothing if not generous where Adam is concerned. But I'm tired and stressed and need everything to slow down. I've got a headache, I say, popping my head around his bedroom door. I'm going to lie down for a bit. Is that okay? He nods and smiles. Today, my perfect boy. And I remember how lucky I am to have him. Wake me up if you need anything. I don't think for a second that I'm going to sleep. I just want to close the curtains and lie in a darkened room and wish this headache away. I take a couple of pills and go to my room, relishing the cool pillow under my head, and let out a long sigh. A quiet half an hour is what I need. The headache is too invasive even to think much, and I focus on taking deep, relaxing breaths. My heartbeat and the headache throb in unison like mad lovers. I try to let the tension out of my shoulders, hands and feet, like they make you do in those endlessly dull yoga videos. I empty my body of breath and empty my mind of more clutter with each exhalation. The pain lessens a fraction as I relax, and my arms feel heavy by my sides as if they're sinking into the bed beneath me. To escape for a while. That's what I need. I barely see the door this time. It comes so quickly. A flash of silver. Streaks of light, and then I'm looking down at myself. My mouth is half open. My eyes are closed. If I'm still taking deep breaths, it doesn't show. I look dead. Empty. I am empty. The thought is like cold water running through me. Whatever me is, right now. I'm up here. That's just a body. A machine. My machine. But no one's at the controls. No one's home. I hover for a moment, resisting my panic of last time. I have no headache. I have no sense of any feeling. No arms, no legs, no tension, no breath. Maybe this is a dream. A different kind of dream. It's something, anyway. I move back towards my body and feel the immediate tug from it. And then I force myself to stop. I can go back if I want to. But do I want to? I can see the line of dust on the top rim of the light shade, forgotten, grey and thick. I pull back slightly towards the door, even though I am terrified of losing sight of my body, as if I will somehow lose my way back completely. In the mirror, I can see my frighteningly still figure behind me on the bed, but I have no reflection. Call me Count Dracula. I should be petrified, but it's all so surreal, I'm strangely entertained. Now that my fear is fading, I feel something else. Free. Released. I have no weight. I almost go to Adam's room, but worry that somehow he will see me. Where can I go? How far can I go? Next door, Laura's flat. I somehow expect to be there in a flash, as if I'm some kind of fairy godmother waving a magic wand. But nothing happens. I focus harder. I feel for Laura's flat, the wholeness of it. The oversized TV that takes up most of one wall, the awful pink faux leather sofa that I should hate, but which makes me smile. Her cream carpet, the kind you can only have when you don't have small children. The sofa, the carpet, her marshmallow colour scheme. I will myself into it. And then, as if propelled on a gust of wind, I'm there. Laura's sitting on the sofa, in jeans and a baggy green fleece, watching TV. A rerun of Friends is on. Laura breaks off a chunk of fruit and nut chocolate and puts it in her mouth. She has a mug of coffee beside her, a mug with little pretty flowers on it. I wait for her to notice me, to look up in shock and ask me how the hell I got into her sitting room. But she doesn't. I even stand, for want of a better word, right in front of her. But nothing. I want to laugh. This is crazy. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe David should be giving me some of those pills he's trying to fill Adele up with. David and Adele. Their kitchen. Could I go as far as that? I focus. And for a moment, as I picture their granite surfaces and expensive tiles, the unused calendar discreetly hung on the far side of the fridge so it doesn't disturb the lines of the room, I feel something change. The breath of wind rising to carry me there. But nothing happens. At the core of this strange invisible me, I feel as if I'm at the end of a stretched elastic band. I try again, but I can go no further, as if my body is tugging me back like a toddler. I move more carefully this time, out into Laura's kitchen, where I take note of the unwashed dishes on the side. Not too many, but enough to prove she's having a lazy day. And then I go through the door to the external walkway between our flats. I feel no temperature change, even though it was chilly outside when I collected Adam from his party. You can't feel it because you're not actually here, I tell myself. You just walk through a door. I feel wonderful, as if all the stresses and strains have been left behind and I am entirely liberated. No hormones, no tiredness, no chemicals adjusting my mood. I'm simply me, whatever that is. I try once more to get to Adele's house, to check that she's okay. And although I find myself at the far end of the walkway this time, that's it. The elastic feels stretched to breaking point, and it's slowly pulling me back, despite my resistance. I move back, enjoying the height, the almost flying of it. towards my own front door. And then I'm inside my home.
Mummy!
I hear him before I see him. In my bedroom, Adam is beside the bed, tugging at my arm, my mobile phone in one hand.
Wake up, Mummy! Wake up!
He's almost in tears as he shakes me. My head has lolled sideways, and my hand is dead in his. How long has he been here? How long have I been gone? 10 minutes at most, but enough to worry my baby boy trying to wake me. I'm alarmed to see him so upset, and I panic, and I... sit, bolt upright, with a huge gasp of breath, and my eyes fly open. I feel the sudden weight of every cell of my being, and my heart goes like a jackhammer with the shock. Adam has stumbled backwards, and I reach for him, my hands cold against his warmth. Mummy's here, I say over and over, when the world and my body has settled back around me. Mummy's here.
I couldn't wake you up,
he says into my shoulder. A tremor has run through his safe world, an almost death he doesn't understand.
You wouldn't wake up. Your phone was ringing. A lady.
It's okay, I mutter. Mummy's here. I don't know who I'm trying to convince, him or me. My head is spinning slightly as I settle back into the weight of my limbs, and although his bottom lip is still wobbling slightly, he holds out the phone to me. I take it. Hello? Louise. It's Adele. Her voice is soft in my ear, but it brings me back to the moment. Adele never calls. Adam is still watching me, almost distrustful that I'm actually alive and well, and I smile at him, a mouth that gets some juice and puts some cartoons on. He's a good boy and he does what he's told, even though he's unsure. Are you okay? I ask Adele. I shiver, cold from lack of movement. I wanted you to forget about all the stuff I told you the other day. It was stupid. Just ridiculous thoughts. Put them out of your head. She sounds cooler, the tone of someone who's regretting sharing a secret and now wants some distance. It doesn't sound stupid to me. I think of the letter slipping from my fingers into the postbox, and my stomach squirms with guilt. I can't tell her about that now. Well, it was. Sharp. I've never heard her sound like this before. I'm sorry I involved you in my marital problems, but really we're fine. I'd appreciate it if you never mentioned it again. Has something happened? This isn't like her. It doesn't even sound like her. She's always been so gentle. Have they fought? Has he threatened her? Nothing's happened. I can just be prone to over-imagination.
I didn't over-imagine that file he's got on you. I almost snapped the sentence out. I'm still vague from whatever it was that just happened, and for the first time she's coming across as a bit pathetic.
And what about Rob?
Forget about Rob, she says. Forget about all of it.
She doesn't even say goodbye, but hangs up.
That's me told, then. I should feel hurt or angry, but I'm not. If anything, I'm confused. Has David done something to her?
I stare at the phone for a moment. What would I have seen if I could have got into her house rather than only next door? A fight? Threats? Tears? Sitting here. The thought of invisibly transporting myself there sounds crazy. Did I really go to Laura's while still in my bed? How is that even possible? I find Adam in his room, looking tiny and woeful, sitting on his bed, half-heartedly playing with his plastic dinosaurs.
Why didn't you wake up? He says. I was shaking you for ages.
I'm awake now. I grin and make light of it, but vow that this, whatever this is, will never happen again while he's in the house. My headache has gone, I notice.
as I go to get him some juice and tell him we'll watch some cartoons on the sofa together. The tension has left me, even after that call from Adele. I've sent the letter. I can't unsend it. I actually feel a relief that she's been cool with me. Maybe this is the break I need from them in order to get my life back on track. And this way, if the 1 in 1,000 chances comes off and the police do search the estate, I can feel slightly less guilty about it. I feel awake and alert for the first time in days, as if exiting my body has given it time to repair itself without worrying about the inhabitant. Is that what I did? Really? Leave my body? The thought alone is insane. But this isn't the first time it's happened. I know that now. There was Adam's bedroom. And the time I floated above myself. And now this. All through the silver door. But is it real? Or was I dreaming? When the cartoons are on, I slip out of the front door and go to Laura's. I'm shaking as I knock on the door. This is crazy. I'm crazy. Hey. She's wearing jeans and a green fleece. What's up? I stare at her for a moment and she frowns. You okay? Yes. I force a smile. I wondered if I could have a look at your TV. I've been promising Adam for ages that we'll get a bigger one. And I'm looking at Argos online, but I'm rubbish at picturing sizes in the room. I'll only be a second. Sorry to disturb you. Not a problem, just ignore the mess. She lets me in, and I follow her through the flat. There are plates on the kitchen side, just as I saw them, the remnants of toast or a bacon sandwich littering one. This is too big for the room, really, she says, but I love it. It's a 46-inch screen, which at least means I can see it without my glasses on. She laughs, and I laugh with her, but I'm not really listening. The bar of fruit and nut chocolate is on the arm of the sofa. The flowery coffee cup is on the table. Friends is on the TV. Thanks, I mutter. That's a great help. No problem, anytime. She tries to talk to me about dating, and if there is any sign of true love on the cards. But I can't wait to get out of there. My head is buzzing. Adele's call virtually forgotten. I had been there. I had seen her. Just as I had been in Adam's room the night when he'd spilled his water. I go back to my own sofa where Adam snuggles into my chest, still feeling the echoes of his fear when he couldn't wake me. And I stare at the cartoons as he becomes absorbed in them. How is what I did even possible? It is only later, at night, when I'm alone in my bed in the dark, that a terrible thought strikes me. It curdles my blood with the possibilities. Adam not able to wake me, shaking my cold arms, thinking something was wrong. Me, sitting bolt upright in bed, gasping as I wake. Not a natural wake-up at all. It's all exactly as it was when I was trying to wake Adele. She lied about the second door.